God, we're asking tonight that you would wipe out the fear and the panic that is being sent from the depths of hell, and that heaven would raise up. God, you shine over this. You move in these places, Lord. I'm asking you, Father, to take up, God, this battle for people, Lord, that they will not be distraught, but they will be filled with faith because they're going to see the mighty hand of God. I thank you, Lord, already for the good reports over Zach, God. Lord, move right now over Dana. Move over Tabitha, God. We call that victory over Katie and John, God, over Ida, Lord. We just give you thanks right now, God, over Donna Smith, Lord, that Nelda, Lord, that all those we love, God, that you've called us to serve and love, will be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're in agreement that you're the one who can do it, and we're asking you to move by your Spirit. And bring the lost home, God. Let them remember your goodness tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Now I need two people who know how to read out loud, really loud and bold, to raise their hand. Yes, love. Okay. Come on. I'm going to do it in a little, towards the end, I'll have you read these. Thank you. Good job. So we're in the book of Genesis. Last week we started out in chapter 1. And tonight we're going to be doing day 3 through 6. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 9 through 31. So I don't have a page number for you because it's just the first book in the Bible, in the beginning, which is what Genesis means. So really quick, we're going to take an overview. There's some places for you to write on your notes if you have special things you want to remember. Today, I believe that this message has taken a turn, and it's a good turn. So we're going to relate it to today. So quickly, let's go over day 1. Light is created and is separated from darkness to designate day and night. And we talked about last week how that's related to our spiritual lives, because we have to have the light to overcome the darkness. We got a real enemy that's after our minds, a real enemy that wants to take the Word of God out of us. Day 2, God places an expanse called sky to separate water on earth from water above. We talked about how that was broken when the flood came, that barrier of water was broken, and how that the water represents the Word and it represents the Spirit. Are we out of notes? Did we not have enough? Did everybody get notes? Do you got them? Okay, making sure. Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Michael. So that happens, and on day 3, the waters gathered on earth to form seas distinctive from the land, and vegetation is created with the capability of reproducing from seeds. We really didn't have time to get in that. Hopefully we can tonight. Day 4, you're going to see where the sun, the moon, and the stars are created to provide light and mark the seasons, the days, and the times. Day 5, birds and sea creatures are created to reproduce according to their kind. And day 6, God turns his attention to land creatures, completing his work with the creation of humankind, both male and female. So let's take time right now and look at this. So I'm going to start at verse 10 because we left off at verse 9 last time. And God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered at one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing and according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. Now, some people have tried to make that a contradiction because the first thing he said was, let there be light and let there be dark. And some people are like, that's repetitive. No, it's not. Because really what happened was he came in, and you remember we talked about the expanse and how he changed it, and there were now three levels. There was the air, the atmosphere, and the heavens. Well, in between that, remember, that was just water until Noah came, and that top barrier of water, there'd never been rain until that. So what happened was God actually caused an expanse where they could see through this fog. They could see light and dark, but they were unable to see the sun and the moon. They were unable to see the stars. So that was made available to them, okay? Because God said, let it be, and it was. So I just want to point that out. And again, we're not here to dispute people's arguments about God. The Bible, while it can be proven in science, is not a science book. The Bible is the Word of God to lead people to the truth and the knowledge of a loving God, so that none will be lost. Amen? So it came in the sky, and it was so. And verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser night to govern the night. And he also made the stars, and God set them in the expanse. Remember, we talked about this, of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teem according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the sea and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Isn't it amazing that they're still discovering animals and plants that have never been discovered before? I love reading that. Every so often you'll see they'll show something, and they showed the most beautiful fish that they've discovered at the very, very bottom of the ocean, you know, because now they're able to go down so much deeper. And I just think it's amazing, you know, like that little fish, I can't think of what you call him now, but he has like a headlight built in. Have you seen him? And like he lights the way, you know, wherever he goes. Listen, the amazing birds and the insects and the diversity. And yet God said he made them all of their kind and to reproduce within their kind. So if there was a Big Bang theory, or if there was just chance, wouldn't everything be interwoven with everything else? How does a bull know that a heifer's the one he's after? You know what I'm saying? Because God has done these things in order, okay? I'm not saying we're heifers, ladies. Just keep moving with me. Moo. And then God said, let us make man in our own image and his likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that moved along the ground. Now, that's a scripture that I chose to use for your text tonight, because I want to point out that God said, let us make man in our image. There is a theological teaching that when God is talking, he's talking about the angels, and that there was a host of angels, and he said, let us. Can angels build or create? No, they cannot. So when he said, let us create God in our image, he was clearly talking about who? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so the word here, us, is Elohim. El, you've heard this in the Jewish, you know, El Elyon, El Shaddai. El is singular. It means one. Ella means two. But Elohim means three. So it's specifically talking about three. It wasn't three angels. He's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why as we go through the Old Testament, my goal is to show you where Jesus is, because he was from the beginning with the Father. And he left the beauty and the splendor of heaven to come and die for you and for me. Yes, for Hitler. Yes, for Billy Graham. Yes, for, because God has no levels. Please hear me tonight. God has no levels of sin. Well, you mean that, you know, Billy Graham's sin was be the same as Hitler's? I mean to tell you that. Both require redemption blood of Christ. Was one worse than the other? He clearly says that innocent blood is going to cry out from the ground. God says that. So I have to believe that on Hitler. But there's just one hell. It's not going to be like degrees of hell. There's just one hell, okay? And it's going to be awful. So he's planned a way for us not to have to be there. I believe I read it to you last week out of Isaiah 45:18, just to recap this for you, because the word clearly says in Isaiah 45:18 that God created things not in vain. That's why we believe between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis, that is where the enemy came and he fell. Because when God cast him out of heaven, all the heavens, everything was so moved by destruction when he and the third of the angels who became demons were cast out. It was catastrophic, okay? So we believe that. Now, I read a little meme that said, you know, dinosaurs didn't drink coffee, and you see how that worked out for them. So I don't think that was what it was that got rid of them. I think that it was when that took back the presence of God, when he was lifted off of the things that Satan had done, that's when the earth went into this deep freeze or whatever it was. So I don't need to argue with people about that there was, what about these fossils? What about whatever? Listen, what about your soul? Okay? Let's just move forward. I'll give you that. Doesn't make me any difference. I feel like he's made an allowance for it. And I feel like he's recreating these things now in an order, because he'd already created it according to Isaiah. You still with me? Because he did not create anything in vain. So the void had to mean that there was already something that was in place. So let me finish reading this to you. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. I think that's been accomplished, right? All right. So rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. So what I want to do now, I want to look at some common denominators from what happened during creation. And you'll recognize these already. Number one, God spoke it. The word says, God said. So he spoke it. And I believe that that's important to us, because today we are creating life or death that comes from the power of the tongue. The word says that from the out of the mouth comes life or death. And I wanted to read you that scripture out of the New Living, and that is from Proverbs 18:21. The King James says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Isn't that amazing that words are like a fruit according to God? And what did he say? The fruit will reproduce itself. Are you thinking about that and what we're saying? And the King and the New Living says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." Man, that's why Proverbs says, "Even a fool, when he is silent, is considered wise." Sometimes I have to say that to myself. Gay, be smart. Bite your tongue bloody. Don't, you know, yeah. So God spoke it. I think that's important for us because there is a seed, there is life that is produced from what we say, or death. You know, I think that we've killed more people with our words than we ever would with a sword or a gun. Have you ever been mutilated or hurt by someone? Right? And then the second thing that I think that all these creations have in common is that God inspected it for good. See, I think that God is looking at the things that we're doing to encourage us. Not that God does not recognize sin, guys, but sin has no power with God. So he's looking for the things that we're doing to encourage us and say, "You know what, Ronnie? That was good. Don't listen to the enemy about what you didn't do right. I want to say to you, son, that was good. Nobody else may notice it." I want everyone of you to raise your hand tonight, if you can hear me. Good. No deaf people here yet, because I would have to call, you know, Cassie Ramon up to sign it for us in this room. But the truth is, I believe for every one of you, this is important tonight. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for digging in and to keep believing. I want to say thank you, because sometimes we don't hear thank you enough from others. But I felt like today when I prayed, God was saying, "Thank you for the braveness. Thank you for the courage. Thank you for not being afraid. Thank you for not being discouraged. Thank you for listening to my word." And I want you to let that soak in and just water your spirits tonight. Because the way that he looked at it and said, "This is good." Whatever God has created in you and in me, I believe he's inspecting it and saying, "That's good." And the enemy's saying, "You're bad." So I've got to say what God says. I may not be where I'm supposed to be, but I want to thank God I'm not who I was. And tomorrow I may have a different battle, but today, I want to encourage you and for you to be encouraged. And let's begin to let the Lord know we're grateful. We're grateful for you putting up with us. We're grateful for your patience. We're grateful for your mercy. Man, if we'd spend more time on that, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then there was the separation of day and night. This is important. Every scripture he said, and there was a morning and there was an evening. See, there's a time where the darkness is going to help you to rest. Because the battle belongs to who? The Lord. So when I'm in the middle of a dark battle, the enemy wants me to freak out, worry, fear, and just panic. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? That is contrary to the word of God, because he says, whose battle is it? Who's already won that battle? He has. That's why I'm going to say over Cynthia, over Dana, over Tabitha, over Katie, over John, over Zach, over you, and over me, the victory has already been won. And I'm not going to walk in fear. Because there's a time, I'm going to rest. And I want to tell you that I don't know if it'll help you or if you just think I'm crazy and y'all need to pray for me. I'm good with either one. But here's the thing. Sometimes when I go to sleep at night, I'll say, "God, I am really terrified that this is going to happen." Are you reading the news? Are you hearing? Even if you don't read the news, which I try not to, I don't care. I don't have my head in the sand. I hear plenty from everybody else. okay? But the thing is, you just think, oh, here it comes. This is the worst thing. Oh, here it comes. Now everything's going to fall apart. And I have to say to him, I need you to forgive me for letting the darkness that I'm hearing override that I'm hearing your word. I got so overwhelmed last night praying for the lost. I feel such an urgency that we get in agreement with God. I'm not kidding. I feel such an urgency. And you're here because you have that hunger. You're here because you're wanting that abundance and that victory. Don't be mad at people who aren't here. Weep for them because Jesus did. How long, Jerusalem, have I longed to pull you under my wings like a mother hen? Listen, we need to be believing for the lost to come home because they've tasted him, they've believed a lie, and they're walking in darkness, and the darkness is not coming to the light, but we can send the light to the darkness. Keep going, Gay. Okay. And here's another thing I see. I see unity. In everything he does, there's a unity to it. The birds are going to be with their kind, the animals, the cows, they're all going to be with their kind. I'm going to create man. I'm going to create woman. He created us to live in victory. He created us that we would overcome the fallen devil by our relationship with him and show how it should be. Sadly, that's not what happened. You've heard Steve say so many times, if it hadn't been Adam, it'd have been you or me. Okay? Because there's just times where we get in agreement with the enemy, and that is why Jesus came, because he knew our weakness. He lived as a man with the knowledge of heaven, but he was subjected to germs. He was subjected to hate. He was subjected to bad reports. He was subjected to death. He wept over Lazarus. I just quoted that scripture where he wept over Jerusalem. So he had those same emotions. But God has created us to have unity with the Father in order. And everything that he did was to benefit us. Everything that he did was to benefit us. It was to serve us. And when it says that we have dominion, that word is not dominance. That word is stewardship. We should have stewardship over the animals, over vegetation. That's something that we're supposed to be looking out for. Doesn't mean that we're going to get it right, but I want to tell you something. I've watched my mom and my dad worked the ground and rotate crops where something was dead and wasn't growing. And with the knowledge that they had, they were able to see life come back into that soil. For those of you who don't know, if you plant peanuts, for instance, in a plot of land that has no nutrients, that peanut will actually feed back nutrients into the soil. And they call it crop rotation. Whatever's taken certain nutrients out, you rotate it around and switch up the crops, and it will bring back the nourishment and the nutrients. And I remember when the honeybees weren't coming. My mom planted a row of zinnia flowers in the garden. Now, when I say garden, it was probably like this. It had to have a tractor to work it. Okay, my dad bought the land behind the house so he could work it. But she planted those flowers, and he thought that was crazy. And she said, I'm going to call in those honeybees. You're going to see. And where other people's crops weren't doing, you need them, they had them. Because she knew what to do when there was nothing you could do. Yes, God holds us responsible for what we know to do. But guys, God has made everything to benefit us. And whatever we lack, he will give to us. Is it sinking in tonight? Because I mean it with a full heart. Whatever we're lacking, God will make up the difference. So I want to go back and I want to look at day three with the vegetation. Have you ever planted watermelons and oak trees grew? Did you ever go to the farmer's market or your grocery store in the summer and buy a tomato plant and you planted it and instead, you got a daisy? Why? Because God said that's going to produce what I've deposited within it. I'm telling you tonight, God has deposited victory through the Holy Spirit, who can and does speak to us and counsel us and comfort us. And God has planted the power of Jesus Christ inside of each one of you, and that seed will not return void. And what does he say will not return void? His word, ding, ding, ding. I wish I had stickers. I'd give them out to each one of you. That was good. But here's the thing. The common denominator was he spoke it. He spoke the word. If his word won't return void, how many of my words are? Okay. So seeds have a dormant life inside, but they're still alive. There's something inside of you that may not have produced yet, but it's still inside of you. It still has potential. It is not too late. You can't screw up the promises of God over your life because the blood of Jesus is greater than my failure. Would anybody in here like to tell me that they have more power than God? Because we're going to lay hands on you suddenly. No, we do not. So here's the thing. When the enemy comes and said, this is a reason this can't happen. This is a reason you're not going to have this. This is a reason your kids aren't going to have this. I have the right to stand up and say, and I don't mind saying it out loud because sometimes I need to hear it. If nobody else is saying it over you, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Get up and say it over yourself. And stand up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He has promised me that the anointing would increase from generation to generation, and I speak life over my seed. God, I dedicated those babies to you. I gave them to you, and I'm calling back the life of Christ to come into them, that they will not turn from your word, but they will run to your word, and they will find safety because you are a shelter, God, in the time of trouble. You are a healer in the time of sickness. You are deliverer in the time of torment. And I speak life and not death over my children, and the word will not return void. Yeah, y'all could have been standing shouting on that one, but we'll just keep moving. Woohoo! The roots grow deepest in the darkness. There's nothing that the enemy's going to put you through that God will not cause life to grow in you. America, wake up! There's nothing that is happening in the news or in darkness or in lies or deceit that God is not going to cause us to grow up and mature. Maybe we needed a good wake-up call to start praying every morning. Maybe we needed it. But instead, I find that we're just like, oh, that's really bad. Oh, that's so bad. Isn't that awful? Oh, I hate that person. I'm hearing that out of the mouths of Christians. I hate that old witch, that old crazy man. I'm hearing these things out of believers. That is rubbish. It is void. It is trash. It has no life in it. Do I have to agree with these people? No. Who should I be in agreement with? God. So stop trying to worry about who you're in agreement with on this level and get in agreement with him, because we already got three people in agreement with us working in one powerful Powerball punch. So I'm not alone. And whatever the devil's telling you about poor you, who cares, who loves you, quit it. You've bought into a lie, and you are becoming deformed and retarded in your spiritual growth because you're looking to man to do what only God can do. And can I just tell you, and I do want some amens if you believe this is true, you're going to have a lot more friends when you give up your pity party. Okay, just there it is. It was the truth. But here's the thing about these seeds. This is what's so beautiful. Did you ever walk through, thank God for Ken Graves. You know, we used to walk through back there in the front yard when I'd go to pick up debris in the morning. I'd have all these little burr things all in my shoes and stick. I'd be like, what is up with that? And you try to pick them out. It's like, oh. And you're going to get something so they don't stick you. Do you know when you deposit that back down, you just spread a seed? Right? And what about those little, the little puffy things that look like little fur balls? What are those? Dandelions, thank you. Yeah, and you know, as kids, what do they do with them? They pick them and they blow and make a wish. Well, here's the thing. Those little things look like they have little helicopter tentacles on them, don't they? And when they blow them, they just work with the wind and they just go all over. And what about the pine cone? You know, the big pine trees, when the pine cone falls, that pine cone's not going to go into the ground and produce life, because that big parent tree is already sucking the life out of that ground. It doesn't have a chance. But when it dries up, when it withers from the heat, when it withers from the lack of water, the seed can fall out. And that seed has a little tail on it that like spins in the wind. And when the pine cone opens up, the seeds come out. And that little bitty tail on there just spins. And it takes it off somewhere to where it can get life. And it goes into the darkness. And it puts roots down. And then during ice storms and hail storms, we're picking up those big old limbs. Because when God said a seed's going to produce life, it will. And sometimes you and I carry them. And sometimes we had this, we were in our backyard. We lived over off of Starlight. And all of a sudden I started having these sunflowers grow up. And I was like, where are these coming from? And Steve just died laughing. He said, go look where they're coming up from. So I went and looked, and all these birds had taken up nest in this air. Okay, so what had happened was they were eating sunflower seeds out of somebody's bird feeder and coming over and dropping, you with me, being nice, dropping the remnants of those onto the ground, and it was producing something. So sometimes the things that we take in, we leave somewhere else, and it's going to produce something, because that's just the truth. We got to be careful with our words. And then day 4 says, the sun and the moon and the stars are created. Well, here's just a little bit of. Now, we know that the Babylonian calendar, the Mayan calendar, the Incan calendar, most of those are gone. But the calendar in China, you know, that's off from our American calendar, or the other nations generally all go 365 days. They go 360. And I just want to say, this year is the year of the rat. So Disney World has said it's not a rat, it's a mouse. Make it beautiful. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. But people want to know, well, how did that 5-day difference get there? Now, there's this scientist who said that once Jupiter was formed, it threw off the rotation of the Earth and the Sun. And because we know that that's how it happens, that created the extra days. So I need 3 volunteers. Okay, come on, beautiful Red. Come on, Dina. Come on, Annette. Help me out. Okay, I want you to stand up here. Okay, you're going to be the sun.
Oh, of course.
Come on, right there. All right. Dina, you're going to be the earth. Okay? You're going to have to back up just a little bit. Oh, she is full on beaming your flaming hair.
Okay. Yay.
I'm going to stand you right here.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to be the earth. And you're rotating around the sun, okay? So I want you to start rotating around the sun. You're the moon. So you just stand still right here, Dina.
Oh, I'm standing.
Stand still right here for just a minute. And the moon rotates around the earth. So come and rotate around Dina. Yes? You're still standing there. Now, can you imagine? Let's see if you can go around Dina while she goes around the sun. Just try it. You're going around Dina in a circle, Annette. You're rotating around her. Now, do you see how this works? Okay, thank you, ladies. Let's give them a big hand. Yes. All right. Here's why I wanted you to see that. Because the only thing that stops the sun from shining is when we get in the shadow of the world. The only thing that stops the light of God from getting to you and me is when we let the world get between us and His light. I just think that's so important for us to get, because I'm watching the world. We have to live. We're in this world. Don't lie to yourself and say, well, I'm above it. It doesn't affect me. At one point or another, things are going to affect you. And if they don't affect you, they'll affect somebody you love, because God wants us to grow. And we get comfortable. And we don't grow in comfort zones, friends. And out of mercy and grace, He lets us experience what it's like to carry the full control, because, boy, we think we can have it. I got so tickled the other day. I was listening to this, not really a teenager, kind of on the cusp, you know, like 18, 19, 20. But they were sharing with us how that, you know, older people really, you know, have things backwards and don't understand how things work. I just smiled. I was like, well, then you just need to pray for us. Because guess what? They hadn't had the hard knocks, right? They haven't experienced something that's bigger than them yet, because you're probably still at that place where somebody's been covering for you and being responsible for you. And until you're really out on your own, and until you're really out of everybody else's pocketbook, hello, you're probably not going to have the full brunt of that on you, and you can have all the answers, because you're still protected. But man, when we see that sun and how that's working, I want you to know that the sun is still constant. The sun is still constant. But the world is always skirting around the things of God. But He has created us to work with the world so that we'll rest at the night and we'll shine in the daytime. Because He's the light. The moon is nothing more than a reflection of the light. So sometimes full moon, no world in between. Sliver of a moon, pretty much got the world view, right? So tonight I want us to be whole. And I think that's why it's so important for these common denominators. Who has John 8:12? Read it very loudly, please. That's right. That's a promise. That scripture, it's on the back of your notes. That's your promise. God, you promised me that there would be light. All I'm seeing is darkness. I want you to loom bigger in my heart and in my mind than this darkness. Just before coming out here, I had another phone call from someone, and they're like, I'm just not feeling the Lord right now. I'm listening to praise music, and I'm reading my Bible. And I said, you need to get up and just say out loud, God, I still trust you. I'm telling you, there's something powerful when you say His promises out loud. And even if all you can do is just call His name. You know, Steve's mom had a stroke, and it affected her right side. And sometimes she'll be drinking and her fingers will just fold up and she'll grab the coffee cup or whatever. Or sometimes she'll just be doing something. She'll go, oh, here it's coming, you know. And this is what I've watched her do. She'll go, no, Jesus. No, Jesus, Jesus. No, Jesus, Jesus. No, Jesus, Jesus. And she gets more bold and she'll just straighten that hand out. I'm telling you, there's something when you this is just how it is. I had a stroke. No. Hey, she's doing what the doctors say. She believes that God led her to the doctors. There's people that don't. Do it however God leads you. Don't criticize one or the other. But here's the thing. You need Him with it. Whatever you're doing, you need His name. And when she speaks that out, I'll just see her start, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. No. And I'm just like, Jesus, Jesus. I'm right with her. We need people to get in agreement with us. 1 John 1:5.
This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all.
Say it again.
This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now he declared to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all.
So, when we're feeling the darkness, when we're feeling scared, when we're feeling angry, when we're feeling like they, whoever they are, is winning, is that the light? I didn't tell you that. So see, you're pretty smart. Now, you've already shown me that you know the difference between how to do it and how not to do it. Okay? Right there. You did it. And here's the difference. There is no darkness in him. And this is where I feel like this word is so important today. And when I was just praying over the loss last night, this is what kept coming to me. It is a lie that darkness can overcome the light. It is a lie that the things that are happening in this world can penetrate past the throne room of God. Nothing and no one is greater than the power of God. Not me. Not name your political party. Not whoever it is you hate, neither one. Because if you hating, you in darkness. And if you hating, he ain't going to be waiting. You hear me? So here's the thing. We come into this. That is just what the devil is selling. This is bad. Ooh, Katie got a report. Yeah. Okay, it's a neuroblastoma. Ooh, it's this big cancer. This is all true. For her niece who's 13, neuroblastoma, cancer. It's already damaging her ribs. Can you imagine what those parents are going through? But I want you to understand something. That is just what the devil is selling, and that is just what people are buying up and getting wrapped up in, is that, this is bad. It can't get good. Have you not heard the same testimonies I've heard just in this church about the reports that were negative and how God turned it around? And don't you know that sometimes God needs to move in our lives with miracle-working power so that people will believe. But Jesus said, you've seen the miracles and you still won't believe. So what's the difference? I think we've got to get to the end of everybody who thinks they have the answer so we can find Jesus. And there's things that are going to happen that you can come up against. Listen, our friends, this is just an example, okay? But our friends, the Lehmans, he has blessed this church so much financially because we didn't have it, but they did. But his wife is on the liver transplant list. That is something that money cannot buy. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Wherever it is, whatever the thing is that you think somebody else has it better than you, they're going to have a weak time and a dark time because every one of us need to understand that we need the power of God working in our lives. And according to what he said in this, he's made everything to work for our good. And then you move in with Jesus. And here they are creating man in their image. That doesn't mean that he has eyes and ears and everything in heaven. It just means that we have these capabilities on earth. And this is just how they're functioning. I don't know. Is he like just a little light orb? I don't know what he is. I know he's everywhere. Okay? I know he can do anything. And I know that when they were there, God already knew about the fall of man because he knows everything. He already knew, Pat, about you falling out of that bus. He already knew, Ramona, when Ron was going to fall. He already knew all these things. And he said, son, and Jesus said, yes, Dad, I'll do it. And he's made a way for us to have the healing that we lost when we gave in to the enemy and the earth fell. The earth did not fall because God is evil and he allows evil. The earth fell because man got in agreement with the devil that God wasn't good. That he was withholding. That he was lying. That he was holding back information from man. So here's the thing. It didn't matter what it is. God still wants to provide. If he would provide us plants, if he would provide animals. Listen, you look back in the garden, what's the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they fell? They knew they were naked, and they went naked. Naked sounds Texan. They knew they were naked, and they went and made garments out of fig leaves. Well, fig leaves are going to wither, and pretty soon they recognized that they were going to need covering like animal skin or the plants that they could work together until they learned how to do that to make fabric to work for them. And God provided it and the wisdom for how to do it. Anybody in this room ever had like a little bit of money and you had to make it go a long way and you knew how to get creative? Thank you. I can tell you right now, I can do more with a loaf of French bread and just a little bit of tomato sauce. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you can make dumplings out of French bread. You know, it's creative, but you can do it. And the beauty is that God put that in you so that wherever situation you're in, and those who have money, think about how much God has told you. You just, oh, well, I should probably do this. Where does that come from? But God. I've heard so many people who have wealth say, I just have this ability to do this. That's the seed inside of you because you need to be the person doing that. But I don't need to judge those who can't or who don't. Don't buy into the lie that the enemy is trying to sell that we're doomed, that America's going down the tubes, to hell in a handbasket. Oh, my Lord, I've heard all these phrases. I'm like, really? I need to be speaking what he's speaking, and I need to speak life. And I need to say, God, you don't want your word to return void. I want you to know tonight, you may have nothing in your pockets that looks green. You may have nothing at your house that looks like it's spiritually viable. You may not have anything around your neck that has gold on it. You may not have anything in your hand to win this battle for America. But I want you to know you've got the word of God in your mouth, and it's time that we started using it and not using it as a weapon to see somebody get what they deserve, but to say, God, I'm calling on the power of the cross. Redeem us. Have mercy on America. Have mercy on the lost. God, our kids are so bound up in this stuff. They bought into the lies of the devil. God, I'm calling on heaven to send angelic warriors in the middle of the night to break off these addictions, to break off every lie, to break off the love relationships they've made with the world. I'm calling on the Spirit of God to visit them in the night and speak to them that when they wake up in the morning, they will have the power of God and they cannot deny it. Because when you kiss somebody, God, nothing else matters. And I believe this, and I believe we have the right to do it, but instead we bought the lie. I shouldn't have married that one. Oh, get a grip. You weren't stupid then. You're not stupid now. Get up and call forth the love. God, let me forgive that love can flow. Because if you're honest, the reason you're saying you should have married somebody else is because you don't like what's going on. Call back to God. Dial him up. Say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Because if you're not happy between you and God, you'll never be happy between you and somebody else. Guys, tonight I just want you to see this so desperately. And then I just want to close with this. I feel like we're a maintenance crew. I feel like, you know, when he said, I've put you in dominion over this, I already shared that's not to dominate, it's stewardship. I feel like we're just a maintenance crew. Quit feeling the responsibility to make it happen. If it's to be, it's up to me. How many realtor signs have I seen that on their desk? Or, you know, investors, if it's to be, it's up to me. Good luck with that, right? Because, you know, dirty so-and-so is going to stab you in the back, and no matter how good you looked, they'll take your stuff. It is part of the world. But here's the thing. We can't create things that are going to last. Oh, well, you know, we've got the Wall of China. Guys, one good earthquake, say goodbye, okay? Oh, well, we have this legacy, you know, Carnegie Hall. There's a no. That's not going to last. It's not eternal. Oh, well, you know, I've got these kids and these grandkids. And listen, it's only God that's going to make them eternal, not you and me. I can't create eternal things, but he can. And by that, I want you to realize that I can't create love, but I can maintain it. I can't create unity, but I can maintain it. I can't create for you truth, but I can maintain it. I will speak life and not death. I will believe that the darkness cannot overtake the light. I will believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will maintain my faith in Christ, and I will not let fear override me. And here's my little formula for you, because I'm not going to lie. I get fearful. Take me off the pedestal, because I don't want to fall down for you, okay? I get fearful, and here's what I do. And I do have to talk myself into it. I will try to make myself accountable to somebody I feel like will have faith and not judge me. Girl, I just need you to get in agreement with me right now. I am whatever. But there's times, be honest, where you're ashamed and you don't want to tell somebody your beeswax because you're shamed. Did I lie? Okay, so here's what I do. I'm terrified, like terrified, okay? And I'm like, oh, this is it. We're going down now. And I always think this, Gay, if it took Jesus 3 days to come out of the grave, you need to just wait 3 days. And do you know what I find? That by the second day, it's not as powerful over me as it was the first. And by the third day, after two nights have gone, I'm like, hey, God, there's possibility here. Why? Because the thing didn't overtake me. I'm just saying, go back. I got that from his word. He planted that seed of hope in me. There's a seed that wants to come to life in you and in me. And whatever's sucking the life out of you, he wants to move you by the power of the Holy Spirit where you can root and grow up. Are you with me on that? Man, here's the thing. Isn't it time that we talked about what Jesus can do instead of what we can't? Isn't it time that we realize that there's not going to be a savior in the government? That there's not going to be a savior in world powers? That we serve the savior? And let's just start returning to him. Are you with me on this? I want you to stand with me tonight, and we're just going to pray over this. I want you to cover Shelley Woodson. She's not here tonight, our children's pastor. She's home ill. I want you to continue to cover Dana Cheney. I want you to cover Tabitha and Cynthia while she's ministering to her family. Now that you know about 13-year-old Katie, that's on you to help us pray. Zach, who Darla had us praying for, the doctors told them it was a miracle that he was alive. A miracle. His kidneys, all his organs had started shutting down. One by one, they started coming back. The kidneys aren't where they should be right now. They're the first thing that went, last to get started, but the doctors were so encouraged. That's God. That's God. Are you excited? That's God. And tonight, we're going to speak life and we're going to believe. Are you with me on this? Father, tonight, we get in agreement that you are bigger than the darkest liar in Washington. Come on with me, church. God, we get in agreement that any backroom plans that are being made, you can cause them to fall tonight. God, we get in agreement for every leader that you will show them mercy. For every leader that you will show them mercy. And by your hand, God, you will move, God, in their lives that they will be saved. God, we do not want them to burn in hell. We want them to be saved. Tonight, God, let love win over hatred in our nation. God, we call forth the powers from heaven. You said your word would never return void. You said that darkness cannot overtake you. We break off the lie that the darkness is going to doom all of us. You're a liar, Satan, and we expose it tonight to the beautiful brilliance of the sun. Full view in our faces, healing. God, for those who are stressed right now by schedules, those who are stressed right now by some gnawing feeling of the enemy, no. peace be still over your heart. Jesus, peace be still, where we can sleep like you did in the boat. The winds and the waves and the schedules and the finances and the paperwork must obey God. Because even the seven seals of legality, you're going to open and you're going to take back this world. And Lord, we just want you to know that we're your people. We're calling out and believing in you. Nothing is impossible to you, and that's what we speak over this land. We give you praise and glory tonight, God, that victory's coming because of you. Because of you and your marvelous light. I just want you to say this over yourself right now. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let hope arise, oh God. And the darkness, God, of the enemy be scattered. In Jesus' name, let the seed come forth with life. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, yeah. Woo, woohoo. Yes, he's good. Now listen, Saturday at 9 in the morning, we have a ladies' meeting that's going to go till 3. And it's about those who want a deeper relationship with Christ and you're looking for a spiritual awakening. Jana Hahn's going to teach this, and she'll be in oversight of it, and there's going to be lunch provided for you, okay? So just make sure, if you didn't sign up for that, if you'll just call the church office, yes? Okay. If you is Annette in here? I see hands back there. Yes. I can't see. Now I see you. If you'll just let Annette know. Give her your name and everything so she can let Jana know. We want everybody to come that wants to come. Amen. Did you enjoy the chocolate bar? Okay, well, listen. Don't let your kids go up in there and tear that thing up without some parents supervising. That's all I'm saying to you, okay? Because if you want me to keep doing special things like that, I don't want kids tearing it up. Love your kids. Supervise them. Amen? Amen. Love you.